sort of strikes or presence in the territory itself before they sort of got out again, and they've hit some, you know, they claim they've hit some you know, strategic sort of Hamas targets. And of course, you've just had a relentless bombing campaign for the last, what, 10 days. And I think the death toll is up to 8,000. I think unlike Russia, where it occasionally has to maybe hit some more civilian targets where there might be some Ukrainian personnel or some strategic targets which are hiding out in civilian targets. I think that tends to be, you know, a rarity in the Russian side. Whereas the Israelis claim that they're killing Hamas soldiers, but I suppose considering how built up an area it is, I think the Israeli strategy is just carpet bomb the place, and I'm sure we're bound to hit some Hamas at some point, you know, because, I mean, they just seem to be indiscriminately carpet bombing that place. It's just horrible. And anyway, your thoughts. I suppose the one question I wanted to ask you is, do you think that this ground invasion is going to happen with the potential implications? Because I'm not so sure. I think this is grandstanding from the Israelis, and I think they're actually scared to go in there, really.
Well, I do think they're scared to go in there. Now, immediately, I guess the day of or the day after this all started with Hamas fighters, if that's what we want to call them, crossing, going over the wall, through the wall, under the wall, around the wall, and launching this operation into Israel, a very effective operation into Israel. Immediately after that, Netanyahu promised his country that he was going to go into Gaza, that the Israelis were going to go into Gaza and rout out Hamas, which going into Gaza means a ground invasion. So he promised his country this, and Netanyahu's already, I mean, over the summer, throughout the year, but you know, by the summertime, there are these massive, extremely unruly protests against Netanyahu. So Netanyahu is—he's not at his peak popularity. He may have had strong support from half the population, but half the other half of the population was kind of dead set against him. And to the extent that the population's divided, who's behind him are the religious Jews, you know, the ultra-Orthodox, and the Mizrahi Jews, those Jews of Middle Eastern origin, who in Israeli society are the ones who are tend to be more marginalized, and the more secular European Ashkenazi Jews, that's his opposition. And those, you know, secular Ashkenazi Jews, those are the ones who, well, they make up 14 out of 15 of the Supreme Court members, for instance, which is why he wanted the judicial reform, is in order to gain control of a Supreme Court that was against him. If he could get control over it, then in a country without a constitution, he could have near dictatorial powers, or at least that's what his opponents feared. These secular Ashkenazi Jews, they control the economy. They just like they dominate the economy in our countries. So he's got very powerful opposition within Israel. So he's made this promise that this is his so-called Trump card, is that he's got a reputation for being tough. He's a hawk, and he keeps Israel safe. Well, and a lot of people say he let this happen. I don't know, and I'm not even interested in whether this is the so-called false flag that he let happen or not. I'm not interested in that. I doubt it, but whatever. I don't care. What I care about is the question you asked. You're asking the right question. Is there going to be a ground invasion? And he seems to have promised one, but what can he deliver? Because if there is one, especially after having done all of this indiscriminate bombing and created all this rubble everywhere, how are they going to get the tanks through and their wheeled vehicles? They're not just going to send infantry marching in, which they could do, because there's nowhere in Gaza that's more than, say, 10 miles from the Israeli border. Nowhere. You could march 10 miles in a day. They could bring infantry in, but they're not going to, because it'd get shot up. So they could bring in tanks. But of course, Hamas has, they have the capability to blow up the tanks. They've got that capability now. Maybe they didn't 10 years ago, or even, I don't know when they got this capability, but they do now. And those tanks, with the streets full of rubble, what are they going to do? So, the tanks could be sitting ducks for these anti-tank weapons. It's hard to deliver. And then you did have this report that some people have reported on. It's floating around. Who knows if it's true? But there's reports of a plan that the U.S. Special Forces would help the Israelis flood the tunnels that are all over or all under Gaza, flood them with nerve gas, illegal nerve gas, because those tunnels are used by Hamas. And that supposedly was a secret plan, but it's been leaked, so I don't know if even that's possible. So what does he do? So, it's possible there's going to be some sort of ground invasion, but it would be extremely dangerous. I think what Netanyahu would really like would be to have American forces do the ground invasion. And yeah, but you've got, do you have a couple of thousand American personnel who have already landed in Israel, supposedly? I mean, there's video of very, professional-looking video of American servicemen and service men, women, and trannies coming down stairs from an airplane onto a tarmac. It looks, supposedly, that's what it is. They're carrying their gear. So, and you've got the two aircraft carrier groups that are going into the one is in the Eastern Mediterranean. I guess the other is headed towards the Eastern Mediterranean. And then you've got another two that have been announced that are they approaching from the Indian Ocean, where they could be off the coast of Iran. So you've got American forces that are just concentrating big time in the region. So that there's the question. I don't know. A ground invasion by Israel, by the IDF of Gaza, would be extremely risky, and these secular Ashkenazi Jews who already oppose Netanyahu, what are they going to do when their own sons and perhaps daughters as well start coming home in body bags? So yeah, it's probably unlikely, but there are a whole lot of other bad things that can happen even without the ground invasion. So that's my long and short of it.
Well, they have been happening. I mean, these are staggering sort of numbers of deaths. As I say, it's up to around 7,000-8,000 now in 2 weeks. Just for a little bit of perspective and to reveal the rather odious, but I guess predictable double standards of, particularly, I have to say, sort of moderately right-wing news media over here. People like GB News, Talk TV, Farage works for GB News. These people were incredibly hostile towards Russia. They very much indulged in this atrocity propaganda when it came out of Ukraine. But for some perspective, I think when I looked, the United Nations, their figures are that there's nine, and since the Russia invaded Ukraine, there's 9,600 civilian deaths. And so you now have about 8,000 in 2 weeks in Gaza. But the last time I checked, these people are still justifying it. There's no outrage. There's no shock. Still supporting Israel. I don't know whether you've heard this or not, Patrick, but Israel has the right to defend itself. Mm-hmm. And this is the constant line. And the again, the very boring type. It's annoying because they criticize the left for this. But very sort of gotcha type sort of journalism with, you know, this obsession with the word terrorism. You know, are you going to support terrorists? You know, Jeremy Corbyn, you know, are you supporting terrorists? You know, it's this word is a real trigger word for people like this. You know, not to mention when you look at the history of Israel, well, I mean, there was Israeli terrorists, lest they forget, who killed British servicemen in the King David Hotel. The Israelis in the West have also been guilty of supporting terrorism, but of course they changed the language to moderate rebels in Syria. But this whole obsession with the word terrorism is how the media is conducted over here. If there's any kind of defense or, you know, like this outrage over Gutierrez, for example, the United Nations. I heard Jacob Rees-Mogg on there the other day, yesterday, talking to someone, saying, oh, isn't he really justifying terrorism? You know, this obsession with terrorism. Anyway, it's very frustrating and illuminating of the double standards against Putin. But these people who I would normally agree with on, you know, their stance on immigration, et cetera, just have a blind support of Israel. What's it like over there? I imagine it's probably pretty similar, save people like Tucker Carlson, maybe.
Honestly, and I don't follow Tucker Carlson anymore, so I don't know what Tucker Carlson's saying.
Well, he's not supporting this. I mean, the last time I checked, he's not, you know, jumping on board with the usual kind of, you know, evangelical Christian types and the Republicans who are normally, you know, against the war in Ukraine, but seem to be, you know, all gung-ho for this war and supporting Israel and taking Iran out, you know, Lindsey Graham, the usual suspects, you know?
Yeah, and, well, Tucker Carlson, when he had the show on Fox News for, what, 5.5 years? Was that how long it was? No, like, I guess 6.5 years. He had it for about 6.5 years. And he studiously avoided talking about this. He hardly ever talked about Israel. So he avoided this topic. On Fox News, which is just kind of rabidly pro-Israel, Sean Hannity, I remember, 15 years ago or so, because you've had these onslaughts since Gaza was blockaded in 2006 and 2007. You've had an effective blockade of Gaza, and in 2006 and then in 2009 you had massive bombing campaigns, and then aside from those massive bombing campaigns which killed thousands of Gazans each time, you've had smaller campaigns just sporadically, and there's never any consequences for them. But I remember
2014 as well.
Yeah, 2014, you had a pretty big one. To the extent that normally these would be events that you would remember very, very well, but, oh, it's just Israel bombing the hell out of Gaza. And, you know, you can look back. Maybe YouTube scrubs itself, but there's been video of 9/11 style building collapses. Obviously, Gaza doesn't have any 100-story buildings, but they got plenty of 10-story buildings. And there's just countless videos of high-rise apartment blocks being pancaked 9/11 style by Israeli bombs. I mean, there's just they do it over and over again, and there's never any repercussions. So,
well, the most notable one is this hospital that was attacked, where they the Israeli spokespeople came out with a tweet acknowledging that it was them, and then the tweet was taken down, and then they blamed a stray rocket, and we had Rishi Sunak over here saying, after our investigations, which are hardly impartial, we have established and decided that it was most likely a stray, Hamas rocket. Well, that is one hell of a rocket, because
I thought the story was a stray Islamic Jihad rocket, but I think that's what the Israelis themselves are saying. But either way,
I don't know any rockets that level a building like that. I mean, a rocket's going to do damage to one floor, but it's not going to collapse a building completely, to the extent that that hotel or that hospital was. And by the way, for all the evangelical obsessed end times.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Yeah.
and killing children. And I think that's, I don't think the Israelis are going to go in there. They don't have the stomach for it. They're very precious about their Jews, about their people. They don't want to be losing any if they can help it. I mean, one Jew to them is probably the equivalent of 100, you know, Goyim Palestinian animals, as they refer to them. I mean, some of the rhetoric is like, they don't even hold back. No. And of course, lost a lot of support, you know, with every day that goes. I mean, they're killing about 700 or 800 of them, you know, in any 24-hour period at the minute. And I think that's why they prefer to do it. They're just going to keep leveling buildings, and they'll come up with some BS and some spin about why they don't want to go in there or why they're not going to go in there on the ground. You'll see. I can't see the ground invasion happening because it's going to bring in Hezbollah. It might bring Iran in. Sorry to ramble, but that's the other thing. Well, these Muslim nations, you know, we've heard the strong rhetoric from Iran, from Turkey, even from Egypt. But we hear all this talk, but, you know, historically, they've just, you know, they've left the Palestinians to themselves to, like, you know, to, you know, high and dry, really. Are we going to finally see a change in that where they're going to show some teeth finally rather than just some strong words against Israel? Or are this time are they just going to allow another, you know, 10, 12, 20,000, I don't know when this is going to stop, of Palestinians to be murdered, and then sort of negotiate something, you know?
So Alexander Mercuris, who I rely on for a lot of information because he does a very good informative podcast, or he has a couple of podcasts that he does daily, and I listen to most of his stuff, you know, particularly because he's got, he's been following Ukraine very well and has some sort of background there, I guess. And we're probably about the same age. He's in his 60s and had studied, I guess what they called it, Slavonic studies at a major university in London. So he's got a background in it. I don't know if his background in the Middle East is as good, but he's one of the things he said about Hamas, which I actually take exception to, is he said that Hamas, they launched this in order to become, to draw attention to themselves, to become the center of world attention in order to secure their position as the leaders of the Palestinian resistance. And as I said, I've said on multiple shows, I find that position highly cynical, even though I don't know what the word cynical means. But I do hear Alexander Mercuris use the phrase highly cynical when he's describing, say, the British government's approach to Ukraine or things like that. So that's what I'm saying. Alexander Mercuris, your position is highly cynical. I say it because I think that this operation was launched to draw attention, but not to Hamas. It was to draw attention to Gaza. And there's a big difference. And because the Israelis for decades have been able to do whatever they want, act with complete impunity, and they get away with it. And especially with Gaza, I mean, they can just do whatever they want in Gaza. Every now and then you'll have, it doesn't even have to be Hamas, which is the effective government. You could have, say, Islamic Jihad send some bottle rockets over the wall that might explode on Israeli farms, not killing anybody, and there will be massive retribution for that. Or if one of these homemade rockets winds up actually killing somebody, and sometimes the homemade rockets kill people is through causing heart attacks because the Israelis are so scared. And I'm not saying that as a joke, it's actually true. And there will be massive retribution. And it seems that the ratio in order to satiate the Israeli appetite for Palestinian blood. And I don't mean to be too polemic, but that seems to be what it is. The ratio has to be like 50-1 or 100-1. And yeah. So if you get a couple of Israelis dies, you have to have hundreds of Palestinians killed in response. And that's how it's always been. And so what what Hamas did with this operation, which wound up killing very large numbers. Apparently, it was probably more successful than they thought on this grounds, but it wound up killing over 1,000 Israelis, maybe 1,400 Israelis. Well, now, if you're going to do that ratio, if you're going to have that kind of ratio of killing, it's going to be something that is going to be the center of world attention. So they've made Gaza the center of world attention.
Something much wiser than me is screaming out. And it's so much bigger than me, it's screaming out.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Thank you.
Hamas, because now Hamas has to be rooted out and destroyed. So it's extremely self-sacrificing. And what I ask to Alexander Mercuris, who I've got great respect for, but what I ask him, he's in London, would any member of Hamas, including Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh, the leader, would any of them be able to get a life insurance policy with Lloyd's of London, even one that just lasts for 2 months? Would they be able to get that? Because any Hamas personnel, even the leadership, and, you know, our Western leaders never have to worry about their personal safety, but any of them, what's the prospect for them surviving the end of the year? You know, there's a very, very real prospect any of these people could die. So this wasn't something that's self-serving for them. I think it's something that's very self-sacrificing, but it's to make Gaza the center of world attention and set up a situation where are the Israelis really going to invade? And if even without external help, if the Israelis have a ground assault, as you know you've been pointing out, they're going to suffer massive losses, even if they can eventually destroy as much of Gaza as they want. I don't think you could probably destroy, level Gaza, turn it into a parking lot, so to speak, a parking lot, kill hundreds of thousands of people, and Hamas is still going to exist. It's still going to be there. So,
well, yeah. You know,
let me finish the thought. They set up a situation in which the Israelis can't do anything great enough to satisfy the Israeli public that Hamas has been destroyed, or at least that you've got this 50 or 100 to 1 casualty ratio. They can't satisfy the Israeli public without creating so much outrage in the rest of the Islamic world that you would likely bring in other actors like Hezbollah or Iran. That's what they've done.
I think it goes beyond the Islamic world, and you're already seeing that. You're seeing, you know, huge condemnation from Western populations, of course, you know. Many of them very liberal, and of course, you know, in Europe we've got huge Muslim populations, and the politicians are in somewhat of a bind because, you know, their political campaigns are funded so much by the likes of, you know, conservative friends of Israel, Labour friends of Israel, so much influence, but yet we've got so many Muslims here. Big problem, for example, even in the British Parliament, where you're having arguments and resignations, and the Labour Party particularly, which is very, in quotes, diverse, lots of Arab types and brown people in there, extremely upset. And you've got Rishi Sunak in over there, you know, considering the amount of Muslims that we have imported into the country. And then you have Rishi Sunak in over and hugging Netanyahu and telling him how much we support Israel. This is a very delicate, you know, line for them politically. You know, it's embarrassing. You know, the more, and this may have been the tactic, I don't know, but I mean, you could see it from that point of view that Hamas wanted to bring global condemnation, to bring so much pressure against Israel. But it's certainly become, you know, as each day goes by, and with each increase of 1,000 deaths, and by the way, apparently there's 2,000 children in Gaza been killed in this recent slaughter, it becomes more and more embarrassing and difficult to keep supporting Israel. I mean, I'm wondering even when the likes of GB News and Nigel Farage are going to say enough is enough. Like I said, these people have been constantly outraged by the barbarism of Russia. When the civilian casualties for the entirety of that war is pretty much the same, we're getting up close to what the Israelis have done in 2 weeks, you know?
Right. Right. And, you know, the thing is, President Putin looks at Ukrainians as, if not people who are like his own countrymen. But I think he really does look at the Ukrainians as being
brothers, Slavic.
Yeah, brother Slavs, if not Russians, who have just lost their identity. And even if he doesn't look at them that way, he knows that that tons of Russians have relatives in Ukraine. Tons of Russians have brothers or mothers or cousins in Ukraine on the other side. And so he really doesn't want to create civilian casualties. And honestly, you don't hear that much about civilian casualties because there just isn't that much evidence to offer, right? And to the extent – and besides, when they do offer evidence, a lot of the time the evidence gets debunked and it backfires on them. So there really hasn't been that much. And whereas in Gaza, there's been a massive amount. So, I mean, what's happening, it seems to me, is that Hamas, through what, and I do think this is very self-sacrificing. I would, you know, so for Alexander Mercurius, he's a lawyer, or he was a barrister. And if you want to be technical about it and look at the Hamas operation and say, does this violate war crimes, you know, international laws on war crimes? Does it violate, did they target civilians? Does it meet a definition of terrorism? Well, I'm not going there. You know, maybe it does, but that's not the right question to look at. And I'm not issuing support of Hamas. In the past 15, 20 years ago, when these things were happening in the past, well, maybe not quite 20 years ago, but say 18 years ago. This was before I was doing shows with Dr. Duke, but I would write, contribute articles to this website or that website, and I'd go to these anti-war demonstrations and occasionally speak at them. And I thought Hamas, which had been a so-called terrorist organization, but in 2005, 2006, they started doing elections, and they transformed themselves into a different kind of organization.
It's very like Sinn Féin in the early days when the Provisional IRA, the Sinn Féin was like the political wing of them. So they started to have a political voice, you know?
Right. And Ismail Haniyeh was the leader of that at least the Gaza-based political side, or the Palestine-based. There was another guy who was stationed in, I think he was in Syria, maybe he was in Damascus, Mishal, and I'm not even sure if he's still around. Ismail Haniyeh seems to be the person running the show now. But Ismail Haniyeh, who wound up becoming, when Hamas won the 2006 legislative elections in the Palestinian territories, including the West Bank, he became prime minister of the Palestinian Authority, which the Israelis couldn't and the Americans couldn't accept. And under a great deal of pressure from the Israelis and the Americans, president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, violently deposed Hamas and chased them out of the West Bank. And so that's why they're only in control of Gaza. But they had been elected. They'd won the legislative elections for all of the Palestinian Authority, including the West Bank, and the prime minister had authority over had control over the security forces. So it had been that Yasser Arafat was the president of the Palestinian Authority. The Israelis didn't like him having control over Palestinian security forces. So under Israeli and American pressure, the Palestinians revised their basic law, their equivalent to a constitution, transferring authority away from of the security forces away from Arafat to the office of the prime minister, which at the time was Mahmoud Abbas. Well, then after Yasser Arafat was, I'm sure, assassinated by the Israelis. He died of polonium radiation poisoning, and Abbas then became the president and had one of his lieutenants, a faithful lieutenant, as prime minister. So Abbas, who was always viewed as more malleable and more cooperative with the Israelis, he still had effective control over the security forces, even as president. But then with the 2006 legislative elections being won by Hamas and Ismail Haniyeh becoming the prime minister, well, Ismail Haniyeh wound up being in charge of the security forces, which was something that was completely unacceptable to the Israelis and to the Americans, the Bush administration. And so they pressured Abbas to violently depose Haniyeh and Hamas to chase them out of the West Bank violently, and that's why you had Hamas being relegated to Gaza, which is where they are now. That's how that all got set up. But you know, at the time, I was a professor. I was from time to time contributing articles to websites on this matter, and this was during the Iraq war. There were a lot of demonstrations from time to time. I would speak at certain demonstrations. So, and you know, I was in touch with people. I was in touch with Ralph Nader at the time, with Casey Kasem, who did, he was more of a Hollywood person. He was a famous DJ, but he was Lebanese and he was very passionate about this issue. So I was in touch with some of these people, but, and I was, at the time, I was very sympathetic to Hamas. But what I'm trying to do now isn't so much make the case for Hamas, but make the case against Hamas. And so with Alexander Mercuris, he is a barrister. I don't know exactly what a barrister is. I guess it's something like a lawyer. He's got a legal background. And so, yeah, maybe.
It is a lawyer. A barrister is like, how would you describe a barrister? I've got a friend of mine who's a barrister. It's like a higher level of a lawyer, really, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know these things, but
you're interested in making the case against Hamas, did you say?
No, the case against Hamas.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Okay.
That's so. You could make a case against Hamas by looking very saying, okay, well, this action, capturing these civilians violates such and such international law, or this, and you could make the targeting of this building, which housed civilians, is meets the definition of terrorism. You could make a case against Hamas. But the case against Hamas is basically that that Hamas and has been relegated to Gaza, and Gaza since 2006-2007 has been an international law free zone where the Israelis have been able to act with complete impunity, that the people of Gaza, whether it's Hamas or anyone else in Gaza, they have no access to protections under any kind of law system. Yeah. So they have no access to protections from the law. And so, and this has been going on 17 years.
Yeah.
And 17 years, I mean, 40% of the population of Gaza is not even 17 years, you know, they're 17 or less, right? So yeah. These people, they have zero protections from international law. And yet, you want to and the Israelis can violate international law with complete impunity, and they do perpetually. And
well,
yet you want to hold Hamas to standards of international law, that they have no access to protections from international law, and yet they should abide by it. And that's the case against Hamas.
Yeah, well, at the minute they don't even, you know, the Israelis have cut off water supply, electricity supply. Apparently, some of those hotels or those hospitals are operating without electricity and are running low on just about everything. I guess another question I wonder about, just how many buildings need to be leveled? How many deaths need to, happen before these Muslim countries decide, okay, well, we've had enough of this? I mean, why does it have to, why does the red line have to be, an actual ground invasion? You know, why are they waiting? I mean, if the Israelis killed 50,000, how is that not as bad as a ground invasion? I mean, do you know what I mean? I don't really understand why the red line is the actual ground invasion when they're killing, almost 1,000 Palestinians a day. You know, I mean, surely that's going to prompt, okay, we don't care if there's a ground invasion. Enough is enough. And, it's time for Israel to be, brought under control militarily by whether it's Turkey or whether it's Iran, whatever. I mean, how many deaths is it going to take? Because all they seem to do is talk. I mean, the talk is a lot tougher than any time that I've witnessed. And the Muslim world do seem to be united against Israel and this slaughter. But, I just don't really understand why it has to take a ground invasion for action to be taken against Israel, you know?
So this is what I think is the basic dynamic, that the Israelis in Netanyahu, in order to remain in office and remain out of prison, because if he's out of office, he goes into prison, in order to satisfy his own country, he has.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Ground invasion, but even the bombing campaign, I do think there winds up being a red line that Hezbollah or Iran or others that they can't tolerate. But the Israelis have to cross the red lines in order to satisfy their own public opinion. And what's happening now, I think right now we're at a stage where Russia and China, who are very, very active diplomatically, and they're on the phone with leaders. Putin can call up the leader of Egypt or Saudi Arabia or Jordan and the leader of Israel. He can talk to all these people, Sergei Lavrov and Wang Yi, and they're all very, very active. And I think the dynamic is the Russians and the Chinese are trying to rein in the Iranians or the Syrians or Hezbollah long enough that they can, through their UN diplomatic efforts, that they can set the stage for an international peace conference to impose some sort of settlement on it. Get a ceasefire, then impose a settlement. I think that's their game. And so and things are happening fast. And so I think that's what's going on. They're trying to keep the conflagration from spreading into Iran in particular, or rage big time in Syria or Lebanon, but to keep it from becoming a regional or world war long enough for them to set up this peace conference. And they're very active in the UN Security Council, and they're going to be doing things in the UN General Assembly, and I think, and whereas the behavior of the United States is entirely reckless, and and the American foreign policy is run by what Jeffrey Sachs described as a cabal. Jeffrey Sachs, who's come up big time. I mean, he's been really big time. I have completely reversed my opinion of Jeffrey Sachs, but cabal. He's using an anti-Semitic trope to discuss to characterize the people who run the American foreign policy. But what do they have to lose? They have to lose their jobs, right? They're not facing personal risks. They're not facing personal risks. But what do they have to lose? They probably know they're going to be losing their jobs in 15 months, 17 months, and so they're willing to do whatever now. They want to get whatever. They've got this Biden administration, and okay, let's just run it into the ground and get everything we want as fast as we can. So the American government is being entirely reckless, but the Chinese and the Russians, I think I'm optimistic that they're going to save the day, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Patrick. Well, we'll let it.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.